With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's 3:05. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. Thank you so much for tuning in on a Wednesday. We are loaded. We have college hoops. We have Reds. We have Bengals. We have some Bearcats between now and 6 o'clock as I fill in for Mo Egger in what will be the final time that I fill in 3 to 6. It's great to be with you. So much to get to. Rick Broering, MusketeerReport.com in about 50 minutes. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic in 30 minutes from now. And at 3:25, why the stage is set for the return. But first, it is time, as we do every Wednesday at this time, to hear from Marvin Lewis. Here's Marvin at the podium at Paul Brown Stadium.
All right. Go ahead and get started. The Broncos have the last two football games gone out and played very well, been efficient, taking care of the football, and, being probably opportunistic on both sides of the football, offense, defense, and playing winning football. Quarterback's doing a good job. The back, Lindsey, is very hard runner, quick downhill, and takes advantage of every opportunity. So there, and then defensively, with the ability to rush the passer, and they're doing a good job with the back end and the perimeter fitting together. So they're, been lost some close football games there for weeks in a row, and then but the last couple weeks are really doing well. Anything else?
Seems like AJ's back.
That's what I heard.
You gotta feel like that makes a big difference in the offense.
It's good to have AJ back. He's got to work through the week, see how he comes out of the week, but he's anxious to get back out on the field.
Was that a big thing when Andy got hurt in 2015 and AJ McCarron came in? Did he lean on AJ in a lot of spots?
Well, when you whatever player, you go to the next guy, I think everybody else needs to raise the level to have success, and when we certainly got to do that right now. And, with everything that Jeff has done and so forth, he's got to concentrate on being Jeff and do his thing. And the other guy's got to raise their level and make sure they're, fitting around him correctly.
What do you think are realistic expectations for Jeff on Sunday?
Just play within himself and continue to make positive plays throughout the game. Keep the ability to keep making first downs and keep the ball moving down the field. Just stay within himself that way. We got to, as a group, have positive early downs, first and second downs. Minimize the third downs as much as we can with like any football game, but obviously very important now just to stay relaxed and stay within it. It hasn't been too big for Jeff. He can't let it get too big for him. Well, just, the evaluation of him and felt good about his ability to throw the football, felt great about his athleticism and his athletic ability that way, and the kind of, he was a young player, just emerging that way. That year in San Francisco, they had four quarterbacks in camp. He didn't get a lot of opportunity, but when, he made a poor decision or so in that last preseason game, remembering back then, But when he threw the ball, he worked to throw the ball on time.
You obviously had to like him a lot to keep him as a third quarterback. That's kind of rare. these this team in particular, you wouldn't be able to. You probably wouldn't be able to keep three quarterbacks with all the injuries. But I guess I'm just asking, like, you saw something in him maybe that you realized
he could. Well, we thought he had. You know, we felt like he had ability, and you know, we just wanted to try to get an opportunity to see that, and we have. You know, he's grown into being the quarterback that he is. You know, obviously, a year ago, he didn't get the opportunity with breaking the arm. And, you know, so it's been some ups and downs for him, and broken hand and broken arm. But he's fought, you know, he's come back through them.
You ever attempted to use him as not as a quarterback, but to use him as something else?
He's suited up before as something else, if that's what you mean, Mr. Hobson.
What did you think watching? I mean, it didn't end well, but what did you think watching him play receiver and practice and show off some of that stuff?
Well, he did a great job. He's fast. He's an athlete. He can catch. He can run. You know, he can do those things if he truly wanted to. But he wants to be a quarterback.
What does Tom Savage bring to the room?
Tom's got he's got experience. He played on time. Like I've answered this one, but he played on time, with New Orleans this preseason. He's obviously had experience in NFL games, and we felt like that was a good, great mix to have to build, bring into the building, to have somebody with that experience.
On a scale of 1 to 10, being no responsibility, 10 being sole responsibility, how much responsibility do you put on injuries to why you guys are where you're at right now?
I wouldn't answer that. That'd be an excuse.
Realistically, though, there has to be some.
It's part of the thing. It's part of what we deal with, It's unfortunate, but it's part of what we deal with. We as coaches continue to got to find a way to put the players that are out there in position to make plays and just hope they can make the plays when they're at the point of attack. And we're due to have some of those happen the correct way now. We've been enough in position and not made them. We need to be in position and make them.
How much does overcoming injuries fall back on the coaching staff to help overcome that? Is that part of it? I mean, obviously.
It's always part of it. The whole thing, it's all part of it. We have to just keep, we have a group of young guys. We didn't have a lot of experienced guys behind guys, and so the young guys got to, when it's their turn, step up and continue to play winning football, make winning football plays, and that's important.
The guys who we talked to, a couple of them seem like they have a lot of confidence in Jeff. They were saying he's the best athlete on the team or one of the best athletes. How much of a difference does that make, or can that make, when all the guys are buying into who they're playing with and have that kind of confidence?
Well, I think it's important, and I think that comes from just their, being, with him day in and day out in the building. They understand how he's gone about his job and how hard he's worked, and when the guys see him play in and play out on the practice field, they feel good about that, and that's important.
Forecast is sunny for Nick as it is for AJ.
My predictions weren't very good last couple of weeks, so I'm gonna let you predict.
The injury.
The sun has gone in a lot on me lately.
The injury to Tony, should that have been penalized?
Supposedly.
I mean, that's twice in the last three games you guys have.
We've had a bunch of those, unfortunate. Yeah, that. But, again, we just got to keep, we can't go backwards. We just got to move forward, look forward. And that's my challenge. That's my job. That's what my task is to get us in position to win a football game. And we got to win this week.
Out of curiosity, what does the league say about that when they get back? Is it just sorry? I mean, what are they –
Well, not that we're talking about any particular play.
In general, when somebody comes back in there.
But, the generally the crew or official will be graded accordingly and brought to their attention as they have their reviews as well. So, and that's part of it. I think it's, sometimes there are things that go on the training tape that comes out. You know, we're obviously, you know, we're at fault at times too. I mean, we made the training tape a week ago for something that happened in a game that we shouldn't have done. And, you know, and those are the things that happen with 22 moving parts all the time. And, you know, the seven sets of eyes that are responsible for it. It's a lot easier to look back on it after the fact and see. So, you know, but, yeah, we've been on a bad run with things. So.
How frustrating is it when players get fined thousands of dollars and it wasn't even a flag throw?
Again, that's you know, you take that up with, is it 280 Park now, whatever it is.
Since you started calling the defenses, what have you liked and what have you not liked?
The hours are too short. That's what I don't like. No, there's not enough minutes in an hour. You need more. I feel like, and I hope our defense players feel that they're gone. They understand what's plus and minus right away, and we just have to continue to work at that. We're kind of, you know, starting in the middle and trying to work from both ends out, and that's the part we've had to deal with, and just settle things down and get things back to fundamental and eyes and things and communication and so forth. And so it's been a little different for them to understand that, to understand the opponent more. You know, the things that we apply to the opponent and why. And when it comes up now, you got to make the play because this is what puts you in the position. And so I hope that's the understanding. They'll do nothing but get better with it. Their awareness of the opponent and so forth, you got to continue to grow there. And we lost a little bit of that somehow. And we're gaining it back play by play, you know, or I guess it's day by day, I should say, in this and how we go about it. So I think that's the thing. You know, they wanted answers, and I've given them answers, and I put it back on them because it's point blank.
Were there more questions after the first half?
No, because we were in position. We understood. We were in position. Just do my job, you know? And, you know, that's the thing. You know, I can't sit in somebody else's offensive staff room and know exactly what they're going to do, but we can predict pretty close. And we can put our guys in position and be fundamentally sound at what we're doing so those things can occur. And that point I can, you know, we got to make the play. We've got to make the play and we got to understand. You know what, and they're not going to be perfect, but don't go now to go over here and farm somebody else's crops over here and handle your own business. You know, if you handle your business, we'll be fine. And, you know, that way. So, and so I think we're, you know, it's hard to do this from within the middle, but we're, you know, they're grinding at it. And I think having experienced guys, having Nick hopefully back, Darquez back last week was helpful. Those guys who understand and smart and understand, they can help communicate things. It's been better. Vontez in the middle, it's better. It's a learning experience for him last week. Because he had to listen to me all the time. Well, that's always in his. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be his fault. But but you know, he just, you know, he'll be better this week than he was last week, and that's the thing he's got to do. That's what we know. We had to make a move, and we knew this was hopefully the best move to make with Vigil coming back into the fold.
There has been not just because of injury. I mean, it's been everybody. How much has that been a big part of you guys not feeling like you can get what you need going defensively?
Well, we just haven't been able to put the same guys out there. I mean, for one game this year. I mean, literally for one game other than the opener, and that's the only game we went into it with the guys we expected to be out there. And from that point on, we've had different guys. But again, we got to adjust and move on from that. I think he's just got to continue to, you know, I think he's the week after week, he's continuing to play better and better. You know, he had the one poor penalty he doesn't need to have last week. Was a huge penalty in the game. We have, you know, those calls in the game. We just got to do your job. And but I think Will's starting to understand, you know, there's more to just playing corner in the NFL. There's a lot of things that are occurring, and you gotta take care of the details of it as well. And I think he's really growing with the details of it, which is good to see. He's conscientious. He's working hard at it. He wants to be good, and I think that part of it will help push him over the hump. Okay.
That's Marvin Lewis. Do your job. Do your job, and things will be okay. Do your job. That's what you got to do. Do your job. The 5-6 Bengals look for their sixth victory of the year this Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium against the Denver Broncos. Speaking of Marvin, I'm going to discuss Marvin.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The stage is set for a return. Last November, I did this same exact segment. I promise it will be a little different. I was right then, by the way. I hope I'm wrong here, but I might not be. The return and why it could happen next. I'm James Erpine in for Mo. This is ESPN 1530. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic in 10 minutes. It's great to be with you today. 4:35, Anthony DeSclafani, Michael Lorenzen in studio. Reds Fest, by the way. We have a pair of Reds Fest tickets to give away. And if you follow Mo Egger and you're interested in Columbus Blue Jackets tickets, check out on Twitter at Mo Egger 1530. Because to me, this could be quite entertaining in what he put out there. Get your favorite memory. It's favorite hot takes from me or memory of me. And tweet it at Mo, and you can do that and win Columbus Blue Jackets tickets. But I want to spend a few minutes on the return. Because the other day, Mo and I on Cincy 360 went back and forth and talking about Marvin Lewis's future, and it was pretty simple. I was talking about his future and basically saying, yeah, it's not going to happen. He's gone. He's not going to return. This is it. It has to be it. And Mo said, why? And the more I think about why, and more I think about Mike Brown, and more I think about the Bengals organization, and I look at what they have in Jeff Driscoll and A.J. Green returning, I see Oakland on the schedule. I still see a winnable game against Denver because it's at home. I see at Cleveland, which, as bad as Sunday looked, I think the Bengals have a shot against the Browns. And so I look at that, and I think, man, if Marvin Lewis can get this team to 7-9, just a couple wins, that means Jeff Driscoll has to go 2-3. 7-9 with all of the injuries. Andy Dalton goes out. A.J. Green misses significant time. There's injuries at linebacker with Preston Brown and Nick Vigil and Vontaze Burfict. And there's injury on top of injury on top of injury. I haven't even named Tyler Eifert. And I feel like I'm probably missing multiple other ones. Mike Brown's going to look and say, you know what? Marvin Lewis is under contract. Marvin Lewis is going to get paid no matter what. And he had us at 4-1. Marvin had them playing well until they were derailed by injuries. Marvin Lewis should return next year. He can fix things. He can make it better. And it's just crazy to me. Because if you take a step back, this is the year that Marvin said, it's all on me. I want to hire my coaches. I want to bring my guys in. Things are going to change. Things are going to improve. Things are going to get better. And for 5 weeks, it looked like it. For 5 weeks, it looked like Marvin Lewis's method was working. And the moment they hit some adversity, what happened? He showed his true self. The team showed its true self. The Bengals organization has showed its true self. And Marvin, the head coach, has showed its true self. That's what happened, period. That's it. That's what he showed. And to me, dropping 5 of 6, you hang on for dear life to beat Tampa Bay. He would be gone for that reason alone. If he had only been here the past three seasons, which he's 18-24-1 over the past 3 years, since that January 9th meltdown. So to me, it's crazy to think about from my perspective that he could return. But when I think and try to predict what Mike Brown would do, it's one of two options. Either, oh, we've had a bunch of injuries. Marvin Lewis had us at 4-1. The injuries helped derail things. So we're going to bring Marvin back. Or it's, yeah, we need a change, so let's bring in Hugh Jackson. I think those are either one, and you could debate whether or not that would be a change at all. But I think those are the two. And those are the two options. Those are the two most likely scenarios. I know Vegas released odds today from Bovada on whether or not Hugh Jackson would be the coach of the Bengals day one of the season next year. And I think it was plus 175, yes, and minus 250, no. I wonder what the odds would be if it was Marvin Lewis or Hugh Jackson. Because I bet that would be crazy, crazy in favor of yes, and there would be not great odds on no. The return, there's a path to it. I can see it now. And I remember last year I did this, and I was like, don't look now. In the Bengals, I think there were 5-9 when I did this topic. And I had a caller call in and just rip me to shreds. I can't believe you'd even think about saying something like that. He's not going to come back. And what happened? If it happened last year, it can happen this year. The return, the path is there. I wonder if Mike Brown's going to take it, the comfortable path, or go another way. I'm James Rapine in for Mo. This is ESPN 1530. Up next, Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. We'll talk all things Bengals with me, including A.J. Green's return to the field this Sunday, if the Bengals have a chance to make a run with Jeff Driscoll, and more. That's next on ESPN 1530. It's 3:35. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. Talking Bengals. We will talk some Xavier hoops with Rick Roaring coming up in about 15 minutes. Also have plenty of Bearcats to get to. We have the Reds, Anthony DeSclafani and Michael Lorenzen going to join us in studio in 1 hour. 1 hour from right now, both in studio. I think I'm going to ask Michael about that weird cup trick he pulled the other day on his Instagram. Did you see that? He had a glass of water on his forehead. Lance put it on his blog at ESPN1530.com. Glass of water on his forehead. He lays all the way down, balancing it on his forehead, flips it, and puts it on the ground. Doesn't spill a drop. What? No idea how the hell he did that. Check it out at ESPN1530.com. We'll ask him in 1 hour. But Joe Goodberry of The Athletic, he joins me every single week on the Locked On Bengals podcast, which will continue, by the way. And he joins us now. You can follow Joe on Twitter, at Joe Goodberry. Check out his work for The Athletic. Joe, I appreciate the time, as always. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on, as always. Let's start with Marvin Lewis. A couple of minutes ago, well, about a half hour ago, we heard his weekly press conference. 10 minutes ago, I said that there was a path, because of course there's a path, to him returning. Mike Brown looks at it, sees injuries from Andy Dalton to A.J. Green to the linebackers, etc. Sees a team that I could see them going 2-3 with Jeff Driscoll at the helm, and gives them another chance at it with Marvin Lewis under contract. Am I crazy to think that the Marvin Lewis era could be more than just this season, but you're 17 next year?
No, that's not crazy at all. We could just,
if anything, it's sane, right?
Yeah, I think at this point we should always bet that Marvin will be here until he's not. And like you said, it, in bad years, they found ways to squeak out wins at the end of the season to save his job or to feel good about going into the next year. I think any time, or any team, really, if they have a veteran quarterback and a coach they feel can get them to the playoffs, they're going to feel like they're close. And, you know, I don't know if that's accurate to feel that way with this team. I feel like they're just as far away from having a top five pick as they are from being a deep run in the playoffs. So I could see them convincing themselves of that once again. And on the other hand, I could see them blowing it all up and starting anew.
Yeah, you could see them starting completely anew? Like not Hugh anew, but like new?
No, I think Hugh knew it.
Hugh knew is not new. Hugh knew is Hugh knew it. Like, I mean, there's so many things we could do with Hugh. But, yeah, I mean, that's not new, right? That's the same.
that is much of the same. Sure, it's probably the same blueprint with just a different guy, you know, rowing the boat. But at the same time, I guess that is a new coach. No, I can't even think about that. James, please don't even put that into my brain.
Hugh knew it. That's a good shirt. I should trademark that before I head up to Cleveland. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is with us. I'm James Erpine. A.J. Green returned to practice. He's set to return to the field on Sunday. If I'm Jeff Driscoll, I'm praising the heavens above that number 18 will be back on the field Sunday.
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, we know what A.J. Green does, but with the way Tyler Boyd has played, and it seems that Jeff Driscoll quickly got the ball to Boyd and early and often. And then the way John Ross has played and gotten better every single game, there's no other receiving trio in the NFL that each has five touchdowns. And the Bengals are the ones that own those three receivers, and that will help Jeff Driscoll. It will help any quarterback. So we've seen what Andy Dalton looks like without him. Let's see what Jeff Driscoll looks like with A.J. Green.
What did you think of Jeff Driscoll's performance on Sunday when you popped on the film?
It was very good, especially in a guy that's never started a game before, especially considering we've only seen him in preseason. You have to remember, coming out of college, he was more of a talent than a polished quarterback, so he needed a lot of things. He was thought of by many as a developmental guy, and let's see what you have in 2 years. And he didn't make the roster for the 49ers. The Bengals claimed him. Reports were that they had a mid-round grade on him, and they were interested. And then it felt like he beat out A.J. McCarron 2 years ago in camp, and then I believe he broke his thumb or hurt his thumb and was put on injured reserve. So he's had opportunities. I think it's clear he beat out Matt Barkley in the preseason this year, and then Barkley was injured, but I think that it would have went towards Driscoll anyways. So to see him develop but not really see him play in a regular season game other than that final, what, minute or so with the New Orleans Saints, that blowout, he looked better than he has, and he's looked like he's progressed, and that's what you want. I mean, the ball was coming out quick. It was coming out accurate. It was coming out to the right player. I highlighted a play on Twitter, and it was the exact same play on offense for the Bengals, the exact same play on defense, you know, for the most part. And the throw that Andy Dalton threw an interception on is because he didn't read the defense correctly, and the play comes up again later in the game with Jeff Driscoll's in the game, and he sees it accurately, and he throws a touchdown strike to Tyler Boyd, and it's a throw over the middle in a tight window behind a linebacker in front of a safety, and it's a throw that Andy Dalton hasn't thrown really since the Falcons game. It's something that he shied away from. So I'm not saying Driscoll is going to be better. I just don't think where Dalton has been playing to the replacement level guy across the league, which is a Driscoll type, is that big of a gap. So for me, I think that's the biggest knock for why you would want to keep Andy Dalton going forward and in the future. I think if you get comparable play from Driscoll, I think that's when the conversation gets interesting.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is joining us. What would you say to the listeners at home that are like, yeah, well, Cleveland went basically prevent, they gave them everything underneath, and they were just playing a soft defense in the second half. What would be your argument against that?
I would say that's fair. There were some different looks. There were some different blitzes. It wasn't that the Browns completely gave up. And if you could tell the energy when the Bengals actually had a chance to come within two scores, that the Browns started to pick it up a little bit again. And that's when the Bengals defense started to stall. But it wasn't that, you know, they killed themselves. It was more that the Browns stopped them. I'm sorry. It was that the Bengals killed themselves with pre-snap penalties and mistakes and just putting them in third and long situations. You know, stuff we've seen all year out of this team. But I would say that the Chiefs and the Saints also went into a prevent. We got a 30-point lead against Andy Dalton, and he couldn't take advantage of it either. So it's not that that wasn't why Driscoll was so good, and that wasn't why the receivers were open. It was more because the ball was getting out quickly, and he was willing to throw into tight windows. There was two throws to Boyd. There was another one down the middle, too, against quarters coverage where he's throwing it into a tight window. There's a slant by John Ross right to the goal line before Jeff Driscoll's one-yard rushing touchdown where he knifes it in there right by a linebacker, right in front of Denzel Ward, and as the safety's closing in.
That was a rocket.
It was, and it was a pinpoint throw, and it was a great catch by Ross. I do think he eyes the receiver a little bit too much, so it'll be interesting to see as it goes on, as defensive coordinators start scheming against him, if they're going to say to that free safety and those linebackers underneath, read his eyes and jump the ball. Because, you know, that's something you would expect from a guy who's never had a start, but it's where I would focus if I was the Bengals, to say, you know, keep your eyes in the middle of the field and then come to your target. You can't look at them too early.
Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is with us. I've been very critical of Marvin Lewis this week. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been critical of Bill Lazor. His lack of creativity is something that I think a lot of fans have noticed and are wondering why Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard, for example, can't be on the field at the same time. What's the difference between Lazor's play calling? Is there any difference with Lazor's play calling from weeks 1 to 5, where the Bengals were 4-1 and rolling, and then since then, where it's kind of been downhill and pretty bad?
I think it's the same as last year, too. Remember when Bill Lazor took over, and it was the first game, I think, was the Packers game,
yep.
And the offense put up 28 points, I want to say, and they went on a little bit of a roll there, and then as the season wore on, it got stagnant, and they're running a lot of the same things over and over again. And I think this year it was fresh, it was new. You had Tyler Eifert, which I think is a kind of guy who hurts defenses in pre-snap, post-snap reading, because what he does is he makes you declare exactly what you're doing, whether it's man or zone coverage, based on who goes out and covers him as he splits out wide. And I think as soon as Eifert went down in that Falcons game, even though the Bengals had a good second half coming back afterwards in the games following, everything got really, really basic for their passing offense. And I thought, and I think a lot of people hoped that Joe Mixon returning, Giovanni Bernard returning from health, would allow you to open it up. You look at the Saints, they don't use the tight end. They are out there with Alvin Kamara catching 7-8.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Follow the game. The Bengals should be doing similar things. And I think A.J. Green going down, a lot of injuries, a lot of excuses for why it didn't work. But at the same time, it's not the most creative offense. They're not scheming receivers open. They're not scheming easy touches and easy throws often enough. You watch the best offenses, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, these guys are open. And it's because they're scheming them open. And it's the route combinations. It's the timing. It's setting plays up for later. It's the play action passes. And it's just not there for the Bengals. It's not clicking. Once again, it's now 3 years in a row.
Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is with us this morning. Joe, I posted a poll question on Twitter asking fans if they thought A.J. Green should demand a trade this offseason. Knowing what you know about this organization, knowing what you know about ownership and Marvin Lewis and what's likely to be maybe Marvin Lewis returning or Hugh Jackson replacing him, if you're A.J. Green, put yourself in his position as best you can. Obviously, you're not A.J. Green. Would you demand a trade this offseason? Would you want out?
That's such a tough question. Because
I'm not throwing softballs at you, Joe.
No, I know. And because I'm thinking of it like as a fan, and what should I say as a fan? No, I don't want A.J. Green to leave. I don't, you know, he's the reason to get excited to watch again this week. And then on the other side, you when you question, well, do you think this team will ever actually win a Super Bowl? Are they close? Or, like I said in the first segment, are they just as far from picking top five as they are from having a deep playoff run? Because A.J. Green's numbers, his ability, who he is and what he's been to this organization these 8 years, he's got Hall of Fame credentials. He needs to hammer this last 4 years with production, with a playoff moment, and with a Super Bowl ring if possible. And if he can, he's going to go down as one of the best receivers of all time and make it to the Hall of Fame. I think if he continues on the path he is, we may look back and say, I'm not sure he makes it. Because it's such a deep receiving group in this generation of football that we may say, you know what, he's not going to make it because he's on the Bengals. And now what does that even mean? You know, does that mean he should want to do more for himself? I mean, yeah, a person's career and his reputation for the rest of his life, but at the same time, you're in this game to win a Super Bowl and win a championship, and you want every resource available, I think, as a player, as a coach, and even fans feel the same way. So, I don't know. Yes, I guess I would. If I was him, personally, I'd want to go where I felt like we had a chance, because I think winning comes above anything. But as a fan, I don't want that to happen. But I would like him to have a conversation, and hopefully some changes will be made because of it.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think if you're a fan, that's the thing you look at, is maybe A.J. Green, like he did last year with Ken Zampezi, can influence the organization for the better. Last question for Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. Let's flip it. obviously you and I seem to be on the same page with Andy Dalton. He's good, not great, open to replacing him, finding a replacement in the draft. Part of that might be rebuilding. Should the Bengals look to potentially trade A.J. Green, who will be in the final year of his contract after this season, depending on what they could get on the market?
You'd probably get a first-round pick.
And I think that and more. I think you might be able to get more.
Oh, I think so, too. And that's when I think it gets interesting, is that how do you feel about a rebuild at that point? Mm-hmm. If you feel it's a full rebuild, that you're going to draft a quarterback and you're going to trade Dalton for a couple of second-round picks or something along those lines, you get a first for A.J., that would be radical moves that you just don't see in the NFL. But at the same time, it would really set you up to, and I'm saying that as the Raiders have done this basically, right, with Khalil Mack. So you look at it and you say, okay, maybe it's not impossible, and maybe that would really propel you forward in rebuilding this team. But I think I would like to draft a rookie quarterback and have A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd and John Ross. You want to surround that guy. You want that franchise quarterback to succeed. I want A.J. Green on the other side.
You mean Lamar Jackson? It's too late for that, Joe.
It is too late. Find a new Lamar Jackson this offseason.
Yeah, I hear you. He's Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Goodberry. Joe, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, James.
He does great work for The Athletic. Make sure you check him out. Check Jay Morrison out. He'll be on the show tomorrow with Mo at 3:20. And obviously, Mo writes for The Athletic as well. I'm James Erpine in for Mo. Up next, let's talk Xavier Hoops with Rick Roaring. MusketeerReport.com joins us next. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. It's great to be with you. We have a lot to get to. Marvin Lewis, this hour, we talked about him. We talked about Bengals most of the hour. Let's talk about the Bearcats and a really, really good football coach, at least this year. Did you see Luke Fickell? Did you see what Luke Fickell did this year? I mean, man, oh, man. And the news today comes out. American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. Well-deserved. 10-2. They just the Bearcats have been so impressive. Tony Pike and I talked about this on Cincy 360 earlier today. You can catch that every single day, noon to 1, here on ESPN 1530. No one expected Luke Fickell's Bearcats to be this good. No one expected them to win more than 6 games. I think 6 and maybe 7 with a bowl win is about as hopeful as you could have been for this Bearcats team going into the year. And they've been so impressive. And here's the crazy part. And I'm looking here. There was 10 all-league players on the Bearcats. 10. Desmond Ridder was named the American Athletic Conference Rookie of the Year. Luke Fickell, Coach of the Year. It is insane to think that this program is where it is now. Insane. September and August, just conversations. It's like, well, what's next? What's going to happen? Are they going to get to 6 wins? Are they going to get to a bowl game for the first time in 3 years? It went 3 straight years without a bowl appearance, I believe. Without looking off the top of my head. Back-to-back 4-8 seasons. And Luke Fickell has a chance now for 11 wins, depending on the bowl game and how they do there. It's crazy. And the most exciting thing to me about their success this year isn't even this year to an extent. It isn't. Luke Fickell, since he's gotten here, flipped the switch. It was literally like a light switch. You walk into a room, you flip the switch, and guess what happens? Lights come on. When he got here, you flip the switch, and all of a sudden, the local perception of the Bearcats football program was different. Instantly. It was insane, and I don't think most coaches could do that. And going into this year, I was like, okay, he clearly can recruit. He's getting 3-star. He's gotten a couple 4-stars. He's getting the local kids, which I think is so vital to a program like the University of Cincinnati. And obviously, with the high school football scene here, why wouldn't you recruit here locally? I still have no idea why Tommy Tuberville did what he did. But all of those boxes were checked. The box we didn't truly know, and it wasn't his fault, it's just part of building, we didn't really know what kind of coach he was. We didn't know if he was a good head football coach. We knew he could recruit. We knew he had some success at defensive coordinator for Ohio State. But this year you see it. You saw it the first week against UCLA. You saw it throughout the year. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. They're going to be good up front. They're going to get after it on defense. They're going to hand the ball to Michael Warren. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to go for it on fourth and short when it makes sense to. And that's it. So congrats to Luke Fickell, American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. We have a ton to get to next hour. Anthony DeSclafani and Michael Lorenzen, Reds pitchers, will join us in studio. 4:35. Going to talk all things Reds with them. Going to ask them about new manager David Bell. Reds Fest coming up this weekend. By the way, we will give away a pair of Reds Fest tickets later today as well. So we have a ton to get to. I'm James Erpine in for Mo. Up next, let's do a little Bengals. Just a little bit of Bengals before we do the Reds, because the last half of that 4 o'clock hour, we'll do plenty of Reds. But some Bengals leading into Reds next hour. I'm James Erpine in for Mo, and this is ESPN 1530. It's 4:04. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. Anthony DeSclafani, Michael Lorenzen, going to join us in 30 minutes in studio. We'll talk all things Reds, David Bell, Reds Fest this weekend, and so much more. We also have a pair of Reds Fest tickets to give away. We will give those away a little bit later in the show. I'm James Erpine. It is great to be with you. My final time filling in for Mo Egger. Big shoes to fill. Big shoes to fill indeed. Let's talk a little real quick before, and I'm going to get to some calls in a minute here at 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. You're also going to hear from Jeff Driscoll in about 15 minutes. A lot is being made of this Baker Mayfield basically saying Hugh Jackson leaving and going to the Bengals rubbed him the wrong way. Well, Hugh Jackson got fired. I get that. I also don't care what bothers Baker Mayfield. If he wants to come out and say that, fine. Would I have said it, or would I prefer quarterbacks to say it and make headlines? No, probably not. But does it bother me? Not really. I don't think it's really a big deal. I guess there's more going on up north about him saying he didn't personally attack Hugh Jackson and it wasn't meant to be that. It's just he has his opinion and he wasn't afraid to state it. Fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. But as far as it goes, who cares? If I'm Baker Mayfield, yeah, if you want to use it as motivation, do it. People use all sorts of weird things for motivation. That's what he used? Fine. If he wants to make it, he uses it as fuel? Fine. I don't think it's a big deal. And I think now it's headline after headline after headline. And I will say this, though. It would be good if once in a while a Bengals quarterback, Jeff Driscoll, Andy Dalton, could make a headline like that. Be good for us. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. We'll talk about Marvin Lewis in just a second. But first, let's take a call. Jay is in College Hill. Jay, how was your Thanksgiving?
Hey, I ate a little everything.
There you go. That's exactly how you should do.
Yeah. Hey, but check this out. What you said about Baker's about right, but he spoke his truth. And that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He's no different than he was like last year. He speaks his truth, and he felt like doing what he did last year with Oklahoma. He did it. Mm-hmm. He felt like it. He doing what he do. And that's what he do. Now that being said, about the Bengals, my thing is we can love the Bengals. That's our favorite team. We diehard fans, but we can't put our total heart into them because they're not into us, and they're not into themselves. At least the ones who run the team aren't.
That's fair. You know? And here's the thing. I think Mike Brown wants to win, but there's a difference between wanting to win and going all in to win. And I think there's a gap there that I think fans want them to do that they're just not going to.
Right. That's called winning at a cost. You know, and he's not willing to foot the bill to put a team together that can sustain an injury from one player. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
On one side of the ball. Come on now.
No, you're right.
We got to be able to go back and forth. And if one man down, it should be somebody not asked, because you're not going to get another AJ Green. But at the same time, you know.
I think it's coaching, though. I think part of this is coach. Yeah, I do. I think that the Bengals, the past couple of weeks, on Sunday against Cleveland, I think they were out-coached. I think the Sunday prior against Baltimore, I really do. I think they were out-coached, even with all the injuries.
Right. Well, the Bengals get disrespected. They could be going for it on fourth down like we nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Because mm-hmm.
they know something that they see on film. You know, it's not. I don't think we're getting out coached. How well can you bluff a 10, a club, and a man of diamond in Texas Hold'em? How well can you bluff it?
Yeah, but I think that there is some talent there. Like, I get it. They have flaws. I mean, the linebacker room is rough right now. It's hard. You know, the offensive line has flaws. But to me, when especially on offense, because it's an offensive league, you can't get Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard on the field at the same time. You can't get – I don't think the offensive players, outside of maybe Tyler Boyd, is being used to their best capability. And even him, I think he could get more touches with A.J. Green out, and they're just not manufacturing ways to get him the ball.
Because teams see that too, so they shut it down. I mean, there's checks and balances, and we're not a good check and balance team, and that's sad.
Yeah, you think they're going to win Sunday?
You know what? All I can do is hope, but no, I don't think they're going to win.
Jay, I appreciate you, man.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right.
Good luck.
Take care. Thanks, Jay.
All right.
Take care, man. Good stuff there from Jay in College Hills. Been a long time caller. Longtime caller here on ESPN 1530. I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530. Let's continue the Bengals conversation just a bit here, just for a little bit. Because to me, Marvin Lewis and the Bengals and Marvin Lewis, they've stuck together too long. Back in 2003, when Marvin Lewis took the job, he had what? A young, promising coaching career ahead of him. He had a ton of potential. And he got his big break. Walked into the first overall pick, Carson Palmer. Came in and revitalized a Bengals organization that needed it. But the problem is he held on.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Too long. I always would wonder if I'm him when I look back. And I think this is probably, now that he's back here this year, probably his last head coaching stop. I wouldn't say for sure either way, but it just feels like he's not going to coach anywhere else. And he's not going to be a head coach anywhere else. Maybe he's an advisor or something like that. But this it feels like this is it for Marv, right? I bet he's going to wonder 10 years from now. Heck, he might wonder now. I wonder what would have happened if I left in 2010, after the 2010 season, sat a year or two out, and found another gig. I wonder what would have happened. I wonder where I could have ended up. I wonder how I could have grown as a coach. I wonder what those experiences, what that time for reflection. Because think about it. Marvin Lewis, and maybe it's just a coaching thing, because Hugh Jackson, it's not like he had much time to reflect on what he did in Cleveland. But he's never really been able to sit back and react and think about everything that he's done here in Cincinnati. Good, bad, indifferent. He hasn't had time to sit back and reflect and take a step back from the job because he's always had it. And sometimes stepping away, moving on, saying goodbye, could be good for both. Thank you so much for what you've done, but I'm going to part ways, or we're going to part ways. And I think that's what Mike Brown should have done in January. I think this is obvious now. I think it's very obvious. I think it is so clear. There's never been anything I've been more sure of, ever. It's so clear that he made a mistake when he brought him back. Done. It's it. Because it feels the same. It's the same result. It's the same exact feeling. It's the same 7-9, 8-8 record. And I do think that they're going to win a couple of games here down the stretch. And instead of both sides agreeing to grow and move on from each other, they stuck it out. And now they're the couple that's, we can't live without each other, so we're going to stay together, and they're sleeping in different beds, different rooms. Oh, it's too late now. It didn't have to be too late. And instead, Marvin Lewis, yeah, why would he want to move on, start fresh now? He knows these players. He's got rope here. He's got leverage, I guess. He's got loyalty with Mike Brown. And Mike Brown, he's in his 80s. Why would he want to move on to a new head coach who's going to demand more and ask different things? So it's one of those things. It's the couple that stayed together that maybe shouldn't have. Marvin, Mike. Mike and Marvin. I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530. The call-in numbers are 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. You can also tweet me at James Rapine. Up next, I will get to your calls. I will read some of your tweets. Plus, you're going to hear from the Bengals quarterback, not Andy Dalton, Jeff Driskel. He makes his first NFL start Sunday. You will hear from him next on ESPN 1530.
RDI Corporation presents Football in the Natty, brought to you in part by Bud Light on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530. Anthony DeSclafani, Michael Lorenzen, in studio, 18 minutes from right now. We'll talk Reds Fest. We'll talk David Bell. We'll talk about this crazy weird trick that Michael Lorenzen can do with a glass of water on his forehead. It's super weird. It's crazy. Like, I don't even know how he figured that out, that he could do that. There's video on Lance's blog at ESPN1530.com. You're going to hear from Jeff Driskel in just a few minutes. But first, let's take some calls. Let's start with Kyle. Kyle, you're on ESPN1530.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Living the dream. Hey, I heard you talking earlier about, saying that the Bengals were just outcoached the last few weeks, and I have to completely agree with you. But the reason for my call is, I think parting ways with Marvin is a bad idea. In the sense that I think that he drafts well. And so with that said, I don't think he should be the coach. I think they should move him into the office or something. You know what I mean? Like,
to be a consultant.
To where he still has influence on the draft, because like I said, I think he drafts well. I mean, their draft classes the last few years have been great. It's just in my opinion, but it's the coaching aspect of it that, like you said earlier, that they're just getting out coached.
Yeah, I think they're getting out coached. I wonder if, because they have Duke Tobin, who helps run the draft and is a big part of that. And Mike Brown obviously signs off on everything, but you're right. I think Marvin does influence the draft room, does influence what free agents they go get or don't go get. I don't know. I don't know if I would be on. Do you mean like make him the GM? What do you mean?
Well, I don't know about necessarily. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where he would fit. You know what I'm saying? I think that he needs to be somewhere to where they can, positions can be made up they're made up every day. So, make him a position where he can still influence the draft.
You. Consultant. That's what you do. You just call him a consultant. You give him a business card in an office. Kyle,
there you go.
I appreciate the time, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and Kyle's not alone in that. A lot of Bengals fans have said that. That's a very common thought. I'm going to go ahead and nix that one. Because I was thinking about it, and literally I just got done saying how sometimes you just need to break away. And then it got me to thinking about Tom Coughlin and what he did in New York with the Giants. Hired the same year as Marvin Lewis, by the way. Won 2 Super Bowls in the span Marvin Lewis has been here in Cincinnati. And they politely moved on from Tom. He didn't join their front office. He moved on and joined another front office. I think that's what needs to happen here. Marvin wants to do that, fine. I don't know if he does or not, but if he wants to, fine. But do that elsewhere. Seriously, do that elsewhere. It doesn't have to be here. Go find another organization. Maybe do it for the Cardinals. Maybe be a consultant for the Cardinals. Or somewhere else like that. To me, I don't know. Just keeping him around, it's like keeping Hugh Jackson around. It's like just keeping the same old, I'm ready for new. That's what I want. And maybe that's the wrong idea. Maybe Kyle's right. Maybe most of you are right for thinking that. I'd prefer it new. Let's take one more. Will, you're on ESPN 1530.
Hey, James. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course, man. What's up?
Hey, before my question, just building on what you said, Marvin, with the draft, I think Duke Tobin's in charge of that. But on top of that, you got to develop talent, I'm a chef, and if I got a fry cook, he keeps burning fries, he's not going to make the pastas.
That's so fair.
That's the analogy that I'm using. But, I mean, the last three drafts, you can actually argue that they didn't really hit them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Price just got your starting quarterback hurt.
Mm-hmm.
What, the first round pick the year before?
Ross has flashed, but he does have his question marks. I would agree.
Right, and this year has been better. But they're not playing them.
Mm-hmm.
They get drafted. They sit for 2 years. Here comes their next contract, and we don't even know what we got.
And the part of that, and I'll piggyback that. Well, part of the thing with coaching that I think has a role in this, I don't think Marvin Lewis wanted John Ross. I can confidently say that. So how much does that impact how he uses him, what he does, et cetera? You just wonder if a new coach could get more out of Ross, could put Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon on the field at the same time and be more creative on offense. Obviously, well, they do need more talent.
Well, let me add this. You play Madden.
Yes.
Somebody gets hurt, right? Well, we're going to put Gio in the slot instead of Cody Core, mm-hmm. and I'm not throwing it to him on a fourth down play.
Yep. And so Joe Mixon in the slot, too. I would do both.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, I mean, I was a decent high school player, but I only played one way, and I know that. And these guys are obviously smart to get to the position that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But to build, my question was, why can't we see Malik Jefferson instead of Vinny Ray? We know what we got.
I would say, why can't we see Malik Jefferson over Hardy Nickerson? But
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And what's scary about that, and Will, I appreciate the call. What's scary about the Malik Jefferson thing, and he's the third-round pick out of Texas, was drafted right next to Sam Hubbard, is he hasn't even touched the field. I mean, he's getting on the field for a couple special team snaps. What does that say about him? What I would have done with him, and I'm assuming that the mental aspect of the game, he hasn't caught up to him yet, and that happens to a lot of rookies. They just get overwhelmed with all these different concepts and things that they didn't have to do in college. What I would have done with him 2 weeks ago against the Baltimore Ravens is put Malik Jefferson, who's a very athletic linebacker, extremely athletic. He tested off the charts in the combine. I would have just had him spy Lamar Jackson the whole game. He would have been the guy. He's your most athletic linebacker. Why don't you put him up against the most athletic player on the other team? Made sense to me. They certainly didn't do that. I'm James Erpine. This is ESPN 1530. Michael Lorenzen and Anthony DeSclafani going to join us in studio in 10 minutes. But first, let's hear from Bengals starting quarterback Jeff Driscoll. He talked with the media today at Paul Brown Stadium.
I mean, it's a great opportunity to go out and get a start this week and, you know, not thinking about anything besides this week right now. And that's everybody's mindset. And, we got a good plan together so far. Looking forward to getting out there on the practice field and putting the plan to work and ironing things out through the week. But, we're just looking forward to this week and, just doing everything we can to get a win this week.
You played baseball in high school. Obviously, baseball was kind of a big part of your life back then. You got drafted. You chose football, but was there ever a moment through this kind of like winding NFL journey that you looked back and thought, I wish I would have gone the other way?
No, I mean, I've gotten that question multiple times, and my answer is always, I'm a football player. That's just who I am. It's in my DNA, and I love football, and I love playing the quarterback position. There's nothing like it, so no, I've never had any times I've looked back and wanted it to go the other way.
I think when you were in college, you said maybe after my football career is over, I'll revisit that. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Would that still be the case if you do play for a while in the NFL?
So, no, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, plan on being around a long time.
Urban Meyer was looking for the next Tim Tebow when he signed you. You didn't finish your career at Florida, obviously, highs and lows. What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about football from your experience at Florida?
Yeah, I learned a lot. Going into college, you didn't really know much about ball. I was just kind of out there running around. And, I think with every experience, good or bad, you learn and you take things away from each experience. And I really enjoyed my time there. And I definitely took away a lot of positive things.
Is it helpful in some ways knowing you're going to be the guy just for the rest of the season as opposed to maybe week to week not knowing who's going to be starting?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, we're kind of just worried about this week right now. And, if you start to let your mind wander into the distance, you can't narrow your focus on this week. And that's what I'm doing is just worried about what to get done this week, and then we'll let everything else play out as it does.
Coach Leiser said on Monday that each week you guys, each of your quarterbacks, submit your favorite plays or the plays you prefer, and that you and Andy tend to be pretty close in the ones you submit. You find that the two of you kind of look at things the same way and kind of have the same perspective on things?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the quarterback room, we're always talking, we're always bouncing things off of each other, and just the way it works out, we kind of see things similarly, and you know, some of that's based off how things work on the practice field and how things look. And then I just feel like we're kind of on the same page of what we're trying to do offensively. So I think the offensive philosophy kind of shapes our mentality and what we're trying to get done.
Who are the fans going to get on Sunday? What do you like to think are your strengths?
Just a guy who can operate within the offense, move the football, and score points. That's what we're out there to do. And, you know, whether that's long drives or big plays, however those come, our job is to score points on offense, and that's what we expect to do.
Andy talks about how he's willing to run, but that's not his favorite thing to do. You see that a little differently? Do you enjoy running?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair assessment of what Andy said. I mean, as a quarterback, you're back there to throw the football. Sometimes, you know, things break down, you have to make a play, and you kind of just let your athletic ability take over. But, yeah, definitely not back there looking to run first, but it's definitely a tool that I have and something that generates big plays.
You ever been in a similar situation where you're coming in because the guy ahead of you got injured?
No, this is the first time. No, last week was the first time that I've come into a game off the bench for an extended period of time. And, this is the first time that I've really been a backup and gotten a chance to get in there and take over.
You spent 2016 in San Francisco with the 49ers, another quarterback that is fairly famous for not playing right now. It was also on that team. Are you surprised that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job right now?
Yeah, I mean, I was just there for training camp, so I wasn't there for too long. You know, I'm not really sure. I'm not out there for the workouts. You know, I'm not doing interviews, so I'm not really sure, you know, what's going on there. But, you know, it's hard to tell because, you know, I'm not really thinking about that. I got enough on my plate to worry about to really think about other guys and how other guys are being evaluated around the league.
What kind of challenges do you see with Denver's defense?
I mean, they have playmakers, and it starts up front. They have a bunch of sacks with obviously Von Miller and Chubb. But, I mean, they're going to line up and play their defense, and they have good players. But I think that we have players that match up well, and we're looking to attack them in different ways. And, you know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like I've been saying, just keep the ball rolling on offense and score points, and I think that we have a plan to do so.
That's Jeff Driscoll earlier today at Paul Brown Stadium. Look. I've been asked on Twitter reasons to watch, why to pay attention on Sunday. I think it will be interesting to see an offense led by Jeff Driscoll, who's more athletic than Andy Dalton. He's more athletic than A.J. McCarron. He's the best athlete the Bengals have had start a game in a while. Like, start a regular season game. Because Josh Johnson was extremely athletic, but he never started a regular season game. It's been a while. So it will be interesting to see how Jeff Driscoll fares. And then also, Adriel Jeremiah Green is back. So when 18 is on the field, it's interesting. So that there are your reasons, and you can listen to the game right here on ESPN 1530. Up next, we'll switch gears from Bengals to Reds. Anthony DeSclafani is in the building. Michael Lorenzen is in the building. We're going to talk with them in studio next. Plus, we'll give away some Reds Fest tickets coming up in just about a half hour or so. I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530.
You've been listening to Football in the Natty, presented by RDI Corporation and brought to you in part by the Holy Grail at the Banks on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. We have Reds Fest tickets to give away later in the show. We'll give them away. Let's name a time, Tanner. What, 5:15? 5:15, we'll give away Reds Fest tickets. If you're looking for tickets, you can get them. Reds Fest starts this Friday at the Duke Energy Convention Center downtown. It's Friday and Saturday. Two Reds that will be there, Michael Lorenzen and Anthony DeSclafani, joining us in studio. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on. What's the best question you've been asked during this media tour so far, so I know to ask you? Anything stand out?
I don't know.
It just all bleeds together.
I don't even know what that question was.
The three. Why isn't three a four the sign three is half of an eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, why don't they use the symbol three for four instead of three for three? Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. I don't know. It doesn't mean it's all right.
We probably shouldn't have brought that.
No,
one
you're
there.
Good. It's all
let's,
right.
Let's cancel that one.
No, you're good. Yeah. I threw you off with that. Let's start with Reds Fest. How exciting is it? I know it's exciting for fans. Growing up, I'm a Cincinnati native. It was so exciting when I was 8, 9, 10 to go to Reds Fest.
Yeah.
How exciting is it for you guys to see fans, see 8, 9, and 10-year-olds get excited to shake your hand or say hi to you?
Are you over it now?
Yeah, I know. That's
exactly.
You're over.
Exactly.
So, no, it's always fun to be able to get that close and personal with our fans. And,
yeah.
You know, they're used to seeing us on a baseball field and not having that access to us. And so this is a two solid days where you get that access that, you know, most people don't get. And for me, I know I would have. We didn't have this down. I grew up in Anaheim with the Angels, and we didn't have anything like this. So I would have loved to be able to do something like this as a kid. So.
Angels in the Outfield, your favorite movie?
It's one of them.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, that's right. Michael Lorenzen, Anthony DeSclafani joining us in studio. Anthony, obviously you have a new manager. What was your reaction when you found out David Bell was going to be at the helm?
Yeah, I personally don't know too much about him. I know he was with the Reds organization a couple years ago. You know, I spoke with him for about 10 or 15 minutes a few weeks ago when he got hired, and seemed like a great guy. And, you know, I'm looking forward to meeting him here and getting to know him more and, you know, see what he's about.
Is it exciting when you get a new manager, you have someone new, it's going to be a new direction, when you find out who that is, or is it? Is it just like getting a new boss here or anywhere else at any job?
I don't know. It's a little tough because, you know, it means somebody's losing their job. And, you know, we had great respect for, you know, other coaches, and we had good relationships with them, but you never want to see anybody lose a job.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, you know, we've had a tough, you know, past 4 years, and, you know, changes need to be made, and, you know, it definitely is always exciting to, you know, have new people, you know, at the forefront.
I think both of you, it's safe to say both of you had a successful year personally last year. When you look back at what you did, we'll start with you, Michael. When you look back at the 2018 season, what stood out? What were you most proud of?
Man, just the versatility of how I was used, and that's, you know, due to Riggleman using me, and however – I mean, I'm running back and forth from the bullpen to the dugout to the cage, getting ready to hit. No, go warm up. You might go pitch next inning. So just that was a blast. I had a blast. I felt like I was playing the game of baseball again. You know, at this such a high level, everything becomes so specialized because, yeah, you have a guy that's really good at doing this one thing, and that's why he's in the major leagues. And so it's been fun that Riggleman was open-minded with how he wanted to use me. And so just doing that and being able to kind of take advantage of it a little bit, it was that, you know, looking back at the 18 season, that's what I'm going to think about.
Michael, I view your season, and I think you kind of established yourself as part of the – Anthony, excuse me. I viewed your season, and I think it's kind of a year where you kind of established yourself as part of the future for this Reds organization. Do you view it that way after you bounce back from the oblique?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope, you know, I hope I'm part of the future, you know, definitely would love to be. You know, I've been part of this organization now going on my fifth year, and, you know, I was with the team when they started breaking it down and trying to do the whole rebuild, and, you know, been through, you know, the tough years, and definitely want to be here for, you know, the good years. You know, and hopefully I can be a part of that. You know, that being said, it just comes down to performance. Got to perform, and, you know, there should be no question that, you know, I won't be part of the future.
Anthony DeSclafani and Michael Lorenzen joining us in studio. It's Reds Fest this weekend at the Duke Energy Convention Center. We'll give away tickets later in the show, right around 5:15. So we got about 35 minutes before we do that. All right, I got to ask you, Michael, about the water trick.
Yeah.
So the water trick, it's on Instagram. Lance put it on the blog at ESPN1530.com. I know he asked you about it. I know everyone's asked you about it. What led to this? Why did you decide to do it? How did you figure out how to do that?
Yeah, it was just someone I follow on Instagram. I saw him do it, and so I figured I would try and do it and just see how difficult it was. So, first try I did it with a glass with nothing in it because I was at my in-laws' house and doing it on their carpet, so I didn't want to spill, and I was able to do it. And then so the second one is the one that's on the video to where there's water in it after I figured out that I could do it. And so we filmed it, the second one, and put it up on Instagram.
Yeah, and it was like, what's your Instagram again?
MLorenzen21.
Yeah, so check out that video. Can you teach it?
Like, I mean,
you could teach. How about Anthony to do it?
Yeah, I could teach him to do it.
Would you try it?
Just watch it, and I want videos sent to me.
Yeah, I think I would definitely try it, but I think,
here we go. What you got?
Here's what I think. I'm gonna put this over the radio. I think that one of the stations in Reds Fest that Michael's at, maybe during the Q&A session, maybe we take out, you know, 3 minutes of questions and answers, and we have Michael perform the water bottle trick on stage. And let everyone see it in person, right?
I totally agree.
Some people that
it should be one of the events. I mean, it should be absolutely. Poker, the celebrity softball, or celebrity wiffle ball, and then that. Like, it should say. Do you agree with that? You think it should be one of the attractions?
Whatever you want, whatever you want. But as long as I have Anthony DeSclafani trying to do it right next to me.
Yes. No pressure on me though.
I haven't done it. He's got to.
There's zero chance I could do that. Like, I have no idea how you do it. It's insane. It's ridiculous. By the way, Reds Fest this weekend. If you're looking for tickets, go to reds.com/Reds Fest. You can get them there. Two-day tickets are just $25 for adults, $12 for kids. And you guys both going to be active during Reds Fest. What do you have on tap?
Oh, man. I mean, we're signing autographs. We're going doing Q&As. I'm doing a cook-off thing. So, I mean, we're just bouncing around the whole 2 days. So
yeah,
you should be able to see each and every one of us. Because we're going to be everywhere.
Can you cook?
I try to. My wife is a really good cook, so I leave that to her. She enjoys it.
Okay, so you're not a big cook, but they put you on cook? That's risky.
I know.
And I'm looking here. You got photo booth, autograph booth, Anthony. You have kids clinic. You're playing poker as well. Are you good at poker?
I'm not a big gambler. I'm not even pretend like I
am a
poker or anything. I tried gambling during the year a little bit this past season, and it didn't go well for me, so I hung it up.
You retired.
Yeah.
So you both, I'm looking here, you both have Q&As. You have your Q&A on Friday, so maybe you can try the water trick then. You could get away from a couple minutes and
maybe. I might not. I don't want to take away the spotlight from Mike. So.
That's true. And then, Michael, you have your Q&A on Saturday. So Saturday is the day for the water trick. Is there a specific amount of water that needs to be in the cup?
It could be whatever.
Just whatever.
Whatever you want.
Full cup. Anthony DeSclafani and Michael Lorenzen are joining us in studio. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. Let's talk a little more baseball. Obviously, you're both pitchers. Analytics are such a big part of the game now. How much do you guys use them for your own personal use?
Yeah, I mean, I like to use them for everything now. But first, it's just teaching yourself, and like it's a whole different language. So you have to learn the language in order to be able to learn anything about it. So you have to teach yourself what everything means, and once you kind of get that, you can start applying it to in-game use. But that it's a tricky way to balance all that with the analytics and competing at the same time. And you know, once you figure out how to balance them and use your analytics out in the field while you compete, I think that's where the sky's the limit for you. But the battle is not to become a robot out there and overthink things. And, yeah, you have all these numbers, but it only helps so much if you're using them right. So, I mean, it could be your best friend or your worst enemy for sure.
When did you see analytics or hear of analytics? When was the first time?
I want to say 2 years ago it started for me getting to me. I was becoming more and more aware of it. And then this past season was when it really like opened my eyes to how much there really was. And so I went in, you know, to studying it all and really trying to learn everything, and cause it was all new. So really towards the end of this season was really how I kind of learned finally how to use it while I'm competing rather than just being a robot out there or being the whole like, oh, I don't need any information, I'm good enough, so I'm just going to overpower everyone. That type of mentality. It's kind of that good combination of both to where I felt like it definitely took my game to another level.
What about you, Anthony? Do you use it a lot? Are analytics something that is a big role in your or has a big role in your preparation?
To be honest, I mean, yes, I think a few years ago is really when I heard about it, but I personally don't have a great understanding / grasp of the analytical data. Never really had it explained to me. And I kind of just started getting into it, you know, a little over this year. And, you know, I'm really hoping that's something that, you know, DJ, our new pitching coach, can kind of, you know, help explain to some guys, you know, this year and, you know, how, you know, what I can look at to help improve my game, you know, from, you know, that data. You know, I think it's obviously becoming more relevant. It's been around a lot. I think it's, for me personally, I think it's just starting to kind of click with myself. I think I'm starting to buy into it a little bit more. And I don't know, it's exciting. I'm excited to kind of learn more about it and just try and incorporate it and, you know, hopefully just takes my game up to the next level.
Yeah, you mentioned Derek Johnson, new pitching coach. Have you had any conversations with him, able to talk to him at all?
I did. I talked to him a little bit yesterday for the first time and seemed like just a great guy on the phone. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting to know him a little bit more this week during Reds Fest. But you know, I think he's known about me for a little bit. He was the pitching coach at Vanderbilt when I was at Florida in college.
Oh, gotcha.
So I think he's, you know, from what he said, he's seen me throw, you know, over these past, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, as far as, you know, from, you know, what I looked like in college to, you know, what I looked like at the major league level, you know, because he was the pitching coach for the Brewers, I believe, these past few years as well. So he's been on the other side, you know, the field, you know, to watch me. So he said that he kind of has a good grasp of, you know, what I'm about and stuff. So, but I'm just looking forward to, you know, having that evolve and, you know, picking his brain and see what, you know, what he has to offer.
Anthony DeSclafani and Michael Lorenzen are joining us in studio. The winter meetings for just a few more minutes. The winter meetings are a few weeks away. Obviously, it seems like almost every team makes moves then. As a player, are you nervous? Are you anxious? Do you worry about that? Or is it just something that you throw away?
And I mean, this is my third team. I've been traded twice. So, you know, it's nothing. It's business is what it is. You know, I don't.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think it's anything to take to heart if you do get traded. You know, it's just the opportunity that, you know, another team wants you and the opportunity that you just still have to play this game. I think if you just look at it from, you know, the big picture, just being able to have the privilege to play this game and just really enjoy it and, you know, just trying to get better at that craft is just awesome in itself. But, you know, you can't really control that. So you just have to roll with, you know, with whatever happens and just embrace it and, you know, just get to meet new people.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you? Do you worry about it at all?
Or I think it's an exciting time just because, you know, we're talking about getting some starting pitching, and we're just going to see which way, you know, our team goes, and we're supposed to be pretty busy in it. So I think it's just exciting to see how we can improve our team, and you know, we're all excited to compete for next year. Mm-hmm. So to see that our front office is going to be all in to winning next year, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final question for you guys. Michael Lorenz and Anthony DeSclafani joining us in studio. You're at the plate, Michael. Anthony's pitching. What happens?
He hits me in the ribs.
Is that what happens?
Definitely getting
you take him.
Back.
You had four home runs
he's
last
definitely
year.
Getting
no, he's going to try and throw a fastball inside that he's going to brush me back. But then he's going to. I'm going to sit on a slider.
Back.
I'm going to sit on a slider for the second pitch, and I'm going to.
But he's just going to try and cheat.
I'm going to hit I'm going to hit a rocket to right field that's going to be caught. How about that?
Is that right? You think so?
An absolute rocket that's going to get robbed.
I don't know. Anthony's saying no. And look at that. Unintentional talk.
Home runs unintentional.
They just answered it. Was that?
But I wasn't
playing,
so that might not have happened.
I was at that game. That's funny.
Which one?
The last one right there that they just showed, the home run.
Which one?
I think the last.
That was a night game?
Yes.
Okay.
That was this past year.
Where I was bunting? Was I trying to bunt? Or no?
I believe so. That was this past season.
Yeah.
Yep. It was that one. You guys lost that game, I think. Right?
Oh, yeah. That was the. Yeah.
Was it Milwaukee?
Yeah, so that wasn't the bunt game.
Okay.
That wasn't the bunt game.
Yeah, but you hit it to. You hit it to left. Yep. So there we go. All right. It's Reds Fest. You can ask Anthony if he would strike out Michael or if Michael would take him deep at Reds Fest this weekend. Reds.com/Reds Fest.
Whoa, why isn't it reversed? I hit a home run too.
Oh, good. That's true. Did you have one? You have to get four this year. Did you have one?
Yeah, he hit a grand slam this year.
Man, it's hard to keep up. See, you guys hitting. Who's the better hitter?
Oh, Mike.
Okay. Sure. I'm just.
I'm not going to.
Hey, you got one. How many did you have in college? Did you have a bunch?
I didn't think.
He didn't hit.
Okay.
I just roll out of bed and hit.
Okay. That's right.
Just rolls out of bed, hits grand slams against the Cubs.
Yeah. Take it. You could get tickets to Reds Fest, reds.com/Reds Fest. Guys, I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back with more next. This is ESPN
1530. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Traffic.
From the UC Health Traffic Center at UC Health, our research gives patients hope. Take part in a clinical trial by visiting uchealth.com/research. An accident right now, southbound 75's ramp from Donaldson. It's blocking the left lane, and traffic is heavy, backing onto southbound 275. North 71, an accident at Red Bank. You're heavy towards Dana, and eastbound on the Reagan after the Blue Ash Kenwood exit. You're heavy there to Hunt Plainfield Road. And accidents Campbell at Kirby and Boudinot south of Montana. I'm Rob Williams with traffic.
This report is sponsored by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
Save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Castrol High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of Castrol Conventional, now $26.99. Plus, you'll earn double O rewards points and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after mail-in rebate. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you a sleep apnea sufferer who likes to be on the move, but you hate having to haul your big, heavy home CPAP device everywhere you go? Well, you're going to love hearing this, because now you can travel lightly and sleep comfortably anywhere thanks to Transcend, the world's very first mini CPAP. Even better, you can try Transcend mini CPAP risk-free for 10 restful nights. Just call 1-800-253-9988. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend Mini CPAP, is about the size of a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can also add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend Mini CPAP is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more hauling around a big, bulky CPAP. It's FAA approved, too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Call MiniCPAP.com now to guarantee your 10-night trial. 1-800-253-9988. That's 1-800-253-9988.
It's 5:03. I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530. Nice little red segment. Anthony DeStefani, Michael Lorenzen. One point during the interview, I looked dead in Anthony's face, and I'm looking at the spot that I was looking at Anthony, and I said, Michael, and I went on with my question, and I could see that he was like, who the hell are you talking to, man? So good job by me. If you want to go to Reds Fest, you can. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so right now. They've got so much this weekend. They have a bingo event, a poker tournament. They have, obviously, autograph sessions, all sorts of memorabilia. It's 2 days at the Duke Energy Convention Center downtown. It's awesome. Look, it's Friday, it's Saturday. And if you want to go, you can right now. What caller should we do? What caller should we do? I'm going to say three. You know why? Because I have 3 hours left on ESPN 1530. Today, this hour, tomorrow, 1 hour on Cincy 360, and Friday on Cincy 360. Call-in numbers are 866-702-3776, 866-702-3776, and you will win two tickets to Reds Fest. And if you don't win, because there's only going to be one winner, you know what you do? It's pretty simple. You go to redsfest.com/redsfest, and you can get tickets there. And you could sign up for Reds Fest mobile updates as well. You just got to text Reds Fest to 66128. So do it. Go there. Reds Fest. Reds.com, excuse me. Reds.com/redsfest. All right, let's dive in to the Bengals. Let's. I really appreciate Michael Anderson, Michael Lorenzen, and Anthony DeSclafani for joining us. Really good stuff there. Let's talk a little Bengals, though, and we will be joined coming up at 5:20 by Richard Skinner of Local 12. A couple things here. A couple things that I want to discuss. Let's start with Marvin Lewis. I think the stage is set for Marvin Lewis to return next year. The stage is set, and here's why. Let me just paint the picture. Because last year I did this around this time. It was starting to get dark around 5 o'clock. I think the Bengals, it might have been when they were 5-9 or 4-9, in that range. Maybe they were 4-8. I don't know. It was in that range, though, when they were definitely out of it. It was after the loss to Pittsburgh that kind of ended things and ended their season. And not that they were in it much anyways at the start of December. But I did the don't be surprised if Marvin's back segment. Why? Because it's Mike Brown. And the more and more and more I look at what this Bengals organization is going through from an injury standpoint, starting quarterback down, best player in A.J. Green down, Vontaze Burfict missed time with a suspension and an injury, Tyler Eifert out for the season, Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon dealt with injuries, Nick Vigil, now Dre Kirkpatrick, who returned to practice today. By the way, A.J. Green returned to practice, says he's playing on Sunday. All these injuries, excuse number one for Mike Brown, or in his mind, reason number one for Mike Brown to give Marvin another chance. The other thing is, well, Marvin's under contract. And I think, this is me personally, I think that the Bengals are going to win two out of the next five. I think now with the injuries, they're still going to win two games with Jeff Driscoll at the helm. They're going to go 2-3, finish 7-9, and 7-9 will be good enough to convince Mike Brown, to convince the Bengals organization that what? That Marvin Lewis should be brought back next year. And I include Hugh Jackson in this. I include Hugh Jackson as well in this because I think either one virtually the same, right? I mean, when you're talking about, oh, there needs to be a new head coach. New head coach means not Hugh. New head coach means not Marvin. It means someone brand new, someone from outside of the organization. And I just don't know if that's going to happen. And the more and more I think about it, the other day I had myself convinced, and I let emotion get in the way. But the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think Marvin Lewis will be back next season. The path is there. And I think it happens. I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530. Marty Strohhofer? Marty Strohhofer has won two tickets to Reds Fest. You can get your tickets at reds.com/Reds Fest. So let's continue the Bengals conversation. Right? Let's continue. I do think it's interesting. We'll spend 30 seconds on the Reds. I do think it will be quite interesting in the, when the winter meetings come up in a couple of weeks. That's when moves get done. The Reds seem to be interested in everyone, don't they? Taryn, you've seen these rumors. They seem to be interested in everyone, and that means they're going to get someone. They're going to get someone. You just wonder if it's going to be the right one. And so even though I'll be in Cleveland then, I think it'll be quite interesting to see what the Reds do. Who knows? Maybe the Reds make a trade with the Indians. If so, Taryn, you know who to call to come on. Let's continue with the Bengals conversation. By the way, we're packed this hour. I want to talk about Luke Fickell and the Bearcats in about 20 minutes or so. Richard Skinner, 10 minutes from now. And you're going to hear from Joe Goodberry of The Athletic later this hour as well. Let's continue. And earlier today, I tweeted this out. And I think it's a very real possibility when it comes to A.J. Green and his thought process with the Bengals. Because you're frustrated. Most Bengals fans right now are frustrated with the direction of the organization. And I'll preface this by saying today, AJ said he wants to stay here his entire career. He talked with reporters today and said there's no other place he'd rather be. He wants to be here. He wants to stay here. He said that. Now, with that being said, I just wonder, and I put up a poll question at James Rapine on Twitter. I just wonder openly out loud. You think A.J. Green at the end of the year, do you think he should demand a trade? If Marvin Lewis comes back for year 17? If the Bengals decide, you know what, let's bring the band back together again. Because I know fans that have reached their end. Fans that have, they're at their wit's end with dealing with this, dealing with the Marvin Lewis era that has lasted since January of 2003. And if fans are there, how much longer until A.J. Green gets there? Is it a 0-5 finish? Is it losing 10 of their last 11 games after a 4-1 start? Is that what it needs to be? I just wonder, because if fans are wondering it, then at some point A.J. Green, who before the season, Bleacher Report wrote a really good piece, and I think the Enquirer did something of the same beforehand with Jim Ossarski when he was still here, about A.J. Green and a profile on him. And A.J. was like, yeah, I want to be a Hall of Famer. I want to be the best, the absolute best. And that's all I think about. That's what drives me every single day. And I just wonder if he would take a second to look at what he has and Andy Dalton and Mike Brown and Marvin Lewis and say, I can't reach the Hall of Fame with these conditions, or I can't end up being the greatest ever in this job, in this role, with this around me. And so he asks out. I could see that happening. And the fact that we're even having that conversation, even can be, and last I checked, 44% of you said yes, he should ask for a trade. Think about that. Those are fans who don't want him to go. He's their best player. But you look at it, and it's like, well, yeah. Yeah, it would make sense, wouldn't it? And I wonder if A.J. Green is closer to his breaking point than even he realizes. Because it could happen. Not that Mike Brown would do it. And the flip side to it, and Tony Pike and I talked about this on Cincy 360 podcast up at ESPN1530.com and on the iHeartRadio app. If you're the Bengals, do you consider moving A.J. Green?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver?
I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Probably fetch a first-round pick and another pick. Probably get a first and a third for AJ. First and a fourth for AJ. You're telling me New England wouldn't want him? The Saints? The Packers? The Rams trade for everybody. Plenty of teams would be interested in AJ Green's services. Contending teams in your conference, out of your conference. And so if you're the Bengals, do you reach a point where you're like, okay, we need to reboot. We value draft picks. We want high draft picks. We have a player who's going to be 31 years old. He is our best player, but a player who's going to be 31. Let's trade him instead of pay him long-term and try to get younger assets. I don't think I would do that. I think they missed the ball here. What they should have done is drafted a quarterback over the past couple of years early and tried to upgrade there. But you might have to start over. You're getting to that point with the Bengals, especially if you're looking at new head coaches. I'm not sure if they'll do that or not, as far as the new head coach is concerned. The path for Marvin returning is here. It'll be interesting to see what path Mike Brown takes. I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530. I'll get to your calls on both Marvin's future, AJ Green's future, and more at 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. We'll get to your calls, and Richard Skinner will join us next on ESPN 1530.
This is Football in the Natty, brought to you in part by Integrity Express and by Skyline Chili on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
I'm James Rapine, and this is ESPN 1530. Richard Skinner in 2 minutes. But first, I wanted to talk to you. Don, you're on ESPN 1530. What's up, Don?
Don, Tom, I don't know.
Oh, Tom, I got you. Hey, how you doing, Tom?
What do you say, James?
Hey, Tom and what's up, man?
Hey, not much, man. You touched down, Tom. Yeah, hey, good luck on your new gig, man. I'm sorry to see you go, but you earned it and deserved it. So, knock it out, man.
I appreciate it. I hope to. I'm excited. There's a lot of moving parts when you're talking about a move, even though it's just a few hours up north. But I'm certainly excited. I appreciate that.
I understand that. Well, to your point, I mean, the Bengals have done a pretty good job at flattening the fan energy, because over probably the past 10 years, we've had our brains like half sucked out and thinking that there was going to be something going to happen with this team. But, you know, who's running it? I think he's half asleep at the wheel. And certainly Marvin, you know, I think has been a good citizen and a good steward of the Cincinnati. But evaluating talent, coaching up talent, it doesn't happen. Just look at the draft picks of the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, it has been a disaster. When you look at the last 2 first-round picks or last 3 years of first-round picks, I'm not sure one is even participating. I mean, you can't run an organization like this, and I think the Reds have the same problem. Their drafting and evaluating talent is terrible.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. I like John Ross, though, so I think John Ross can play.
Well, you know, he may, again, John Ross, from a track star perspective, is awesome. Is he a Tyreek Hill? I don't know. And if he isn't, I'm not sure you can have a one-dimensional player.
Yeah, I don't know if the Bengals know how to use him.
But, geez, oh, Pete, I mean, he's got stone hands. I mean, my son catches footballs better than that guy can catch him.
What?
Yeah, he's got great speed. Oh, John Ross, look how many he bobbles. He doesn't make clean catches on any of them.
He has 2 drops all year.
Well, he's only caught 6, so I mean,
he's
know,
got 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. One's a 3-yarder. You know, so I get it. I'm not sold on John Ross. The Bengals got stuck in that deal when the draft came on. All the guys were off the board outside of Ross, so they had to take the last man standing. We'll see what happens. But I mean, in 2 years, let me tell you, the money they're paying and the amount of plays he's made, Juju Schuster's got 10 times the activity that he does.
Sure, no doubt about it. And Tom, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for the kind words.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
Good stuff. Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster is Tyler Boyd. You didn't need another Tyler Boyd. So that I get it. Schuster's better, but that doesn't make sense. Every week at this time, Richard Skinner, Local 12 and Local12.com, joins the show. He hates John Ross as well. Richard, I appreciate the time. How you doing?
I don't hate John Ross, but the jury is still very much out.
It is, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
it is out. I agree with that.
There is some improvement coming. We've seen it the last few weeks. They've taken some more shots at him, and I think they probably, with AJ Green back, maybe you're going to see the whole trickle down effect in full effect now, because Tyler Boyd is proving that he is a dangerous guy. He is a guy worth noting on defenses. So now there's two guys worth noting on defenses, and that leaves the third to maybe run free. And if that's the case, you're right. Let's see what they can do if that's the way it's going to work out.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about this week, because this is really the first time I've ever said, all right, it's time to move on from Marvin. I would do it. I would do it midseason. The game Sunday, to me, they came out lifeless in what to me was a must-win game against a team that they should have viewed as inferior. They should have went into that game thinking, we are better than the Cleveland Browns, who did not win a game last year. I don't care who their coach is or this young rookie quarterback named Baker. We're going to go out and we're going to win this game because that's what we do. We're the Bengals. We beat the Browns. And instead, it looked like they were going up against the Saints in the first half. That, to me, is on Marvin. What were your thoughts on the debacle on Sunday?
Yeah, no, I completely concur with that. The other part to it is, and he's been given, and so have some of the players, when asked, the ability to use injuries as an excuse. And not even as an excuse, but, I mean, it is real. The injuries have been a factor. Anybody that can't see that is not paying any attention.
Sure.
But we keep hearing, hey, next man up. Next man's got to get the job done. Okay, then that's on the coaches to figure out how to play to their strengths, whoever those guys are, to coach them up to do so. Look, replacing a quality starting NFL player for one that's not is a recipe for disaster. But they're not going to use it as an excuse, and neither am I. So, and it's not just performance level. It was almost it just felt like they got punched in the mouth off the bat, and there was no response whatsoever. And that's on the coaching staff. That's on Marvin Lewis for sure. There didn't feel like there was any sense of urgency for a game in which there had to be maximum sense of urgency. I felt in Baltimore, James, they may have gotten out-schemed or out whatever by the Lamar Jackson move at quarterback and some of the things he did that they didn't seem to be ready for. I felt like the Bengals did play with a sense of urgency in that game. I really did. And the results showed they had a chance to win the game. I didn't feel that in any way in that Cleveland.
You're right. That's a really good point. They were in it against Baltimore.
Yes.
They had a chance. They went up against Cleveland, and it looked like it was the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees.
Well, don't forget, this is crazy. This is a crazy stat. The last two home games. Last two, you're playing in front of your audience in your place. Home is supposed to be better. Last two home games against the Saints and Browns, 10 first-half possessions between the two of them, 9 touchdowns. The only non-touchdown was the one where the Browns, at the end of the first half this week, just decided to run out the clock and call it a day. That can't happen. Not in the NFL. That can happen in the Big 12, James. It cannot happen in the NFL.
Richard Skinner of Local 12 and Local12.com is with us. Richard, at the top of this hour, I talked about Marvin Lewis and the path to him returning. I think injuries play a factor in that.
Sure.
I think Mike Brown views it, he's got one more year left on his contract. The starting quarterback goes down. Maybe Jeff Driscoll goes 2-3 in these final five. I could certainly see Marvin coming back next year. When you look in your crystal ball, do you see Marvin Lewis on the sidelines as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals next season?
If they were to go 0-5 or even 1-4, no. 2-3 would even be a stretch unless somehow they win like the last two, like they did last year, to go, okay, they're getting back again. Let's bring back the band. It would have to be some kind of fantastic finish that would, maybe open your eyes to Jeff Driscoll. I mean, I'm taking the wild case scenario here, right? Maybe Jeff just does some things and you're like, holy cow, this guy, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's your guy moving forward. And if he is, and you were able to scheme with him and you got some guys back and you showed something and, maybe fell a game short of the playoffs, then yeah. But I think, if I'm going to be honest, I think anything short of the playoffs, he doesn't deserve it. Really? My fear is those last two games, they go up to Cleveland, and Cleveland itself, because Cleveland always seems to Cleveland itself, and the Bengals would go up there and win, and then Pittsburgh maybe has nothing to play for, don't play, and they win that game, and even though we all saw that it was meaningless, Mike Brown didn't. That would be my grand fear again. That would be back-to-back years of some sudden false hope at the end of the year that really shouldn't have been there. I mean, look, if this was the first year that they hadn't made the playoffs in 5 years, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to say, okay, I can see you. Okay, let's get you got a 2 year deal. Bring him back to the second year, buy straight. But this has a real chance to be the third straight sub 500 finish, and that's a trend, and that's a lengthy trend because in this league, as you're seeing with a lot of teams, the Rams, the Browns may be one of these. You can go from 2-14, 3-13, 1-15. To being a playoff team or a Super Bowl contender. I'm not even gonna say the Browns are gonna beat up, but I can see the Browns next year, James, after going 1-15 last year, go 6-9-1 this year maybe, and then wind up going 10-6 and being a playoff. You can do that in a 3 year window. Mm-hmm. Well, this 3 year window for the Bengals has been awful. And at that point you gotta say that's enough. You've had enough swings at the bat.
Yeah, and the thing is, Richard Skinner is with us, he's never went 3 straight years with a losing record.
Right. Right.
Like, he's never done it. So
that's the thing. I mean, look, I think we talked about it on our podcast earlier in the week. For those that have wanted Marvin gone, I get it. I do. But there's never been there's been maybe one clean jumping off point, right? One time where you could say, all right, that's enough. I mean, he's gone enough. And that was, the 2010 season when they were, they'd come off a playoff berth. That next season they went 4-11-1 or 4-12 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They decided to bring the band back. Okay, and guess what he did? 5 straight playoff appearances. And I know you want a playoff win, and I get that, and that's the expectation. But 5 straight playoffs, it's hard to let go of a guy 5 straight playoffs. It really is. I mean, look, the guy's obviously doing something well each year other than winning the playoff game. Then, this past season, the way it went, and the fact there was no contract there, it just felt like, all right, this is the perfect jumping off point. Well, they brought him back. All right, you got one more chance. And guess what? Right now, that chance, you're not making it pay off. That's enough chances. Now, it is. I thought last year was a clean jumping off point. If you don't go to the playoffs, and it's obviously a long shot as we sit here today, a very long shot, then no, you've had enough chances at it, man. That's enough. It's a clean break time. It's time to start completely fresh, completely new, and I just don't think it's in their DNA to do that.
You can follow Richard on Twitter, at Local12 Skinny. Richard, you are in the Bengals locker room today. A.J. Green announced to the media, hey, I'm back, I'm playing,
yep.
That's it. Here's my thing with A.J. Green. If they bring back Marvin, especially, and they finish under 500 again, so many fans are going to look around and look into the future and say there is no hope. What would stop A.J. Green, who would be in the final year of his contract, of saying, there's no way I'm going to keep wasting my time here. I want out, Mike, trade me.
He could do that through back channels. I think he's enough of a competitor. I mean, he said today, and you know what? And you've been around AJ enough. AJ doesn't say things just to say them.
I mean,
he says them with purpose. And he said, even if we were 0-15 and the only time I could come back would be the last game of the year, talking about the injury, he goes, I'd come back. And I believe that. I firmly believe that's just in his DNA. But I mean, he could do that, or he could just say, I'm going to sign elsewhere. When my contract's up, which is coming very quickly, he could demand a trade. I don't think that's what they do necessarily. I don't think I'd just let him walk for nothing. Although you would obviously likely get some major compensation for it in a compensatory pick. But I don't think he would do it publicly. But could he do it through back channels? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe if it comes to the point of they've decided to start completely fresh. Completely new, start over at quarterback, and that would be included in that. Then perhaps at his age and his stage of his career, being the competitor he is, say, look, I'd like to be with a team that's got a shot. And I think that's not unfair either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would do it just to come. I know it's easier me to say it,
sure.
Outside looking in.
Sure.
But by God, like if Marvin comes back, why wouldn't you? I don't know how he could have in. Just listening to what he said today, he's coming back. He thinks they're going to the playoffs.
He does.
He thinks he's going to come back and lead them. He thinks he's going to be the dude, and they're going to find a way.
No, his comment today was, he said, he was asked point blank, if you'd have played the last couple of games, we'd won. I would have made a difference. And that's not cocky. I mean, it sounds that way. It's just him. He truly believes that. And I think you're right. I think he truly believes that he can help lead this team to winning, their final five games, or at least four of the five to make the playoffs. He firmly believes that. That's part of what he is. But, to answer your original question, I don't think it would be a public stumping, but I would get it, and I think I'd understand if he did it through back channels in some way, shape, or form.
Richard Skinner of Local 12 and Local12.com is with us. Luke Fickell was named American Athletic Conference Head Coach of the Year. Well-deserved, huh?
No question. He probably, and I was thinking about some guys today, because, you know, talking about Pat Fitzgerald and the job he's done at Northwestern, you know, to get them to the Big Ten championship game is just spectacular. And talking about Pat as a potential national coach of the year. I mean, I don't see how the conversation, it doesn't include, if you're talking even two or three deep, Luke Fickell in that conversation. And people can scoff and say, well, it's just Cincinnati, and it's just the American. No, man, I mean, this was ridiculous. If you look at this season, you lost two football games coming off of back-to-back 4-8s. And you lost two football games, one to a team that hasn't lost a game since 2016, and the other in overtime to a team that's going bowling as well. You have a shot to win.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He should absolutely, the conversation before you finish your first sentence has to include him in that, without doubt.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then I'm so shocked. Like I was talking about it earlier. It's crazy to see this UC football program. They're 10-2, and I don't care whatever bowl game they get in, they get in. I hope it's the Military Bowl or something like that. But who knows? But Des Ridder, now you have a quarterback, and he's going to probably have to compete with Ben Bryant next year.
Yeah.
Des Ridder is the rookie of the year in the American, and you got the coach of the year, and who knows what 10-2 does for your recruiting. I'm just shocked at how quickly. I mean, think about where we were 2 years ago to now.
No doubt. No, it is, because it takes more than a recruiting class or a couple of recruiting classes, especially when, let's face it, I mean, you're not getting the Alabama, the Ohio State level guys. You're getting guys, and they're getting some really good. I mean, Leonard Taylor, who's a freshman, was recruited by a lot of people. Malik Mann was recruited by a lot of people. I mean, they've got some guys, no question about that. Ben Bryant was recruited by a lot of people. I mean, they've got some guys, no doubt. But it's not like you're going to get a class or two to refill that usually. It's going to take a few, so. He's done it within a couple of classes with, you know, another class coming behind and some guys that have redshirted this year and all those things. They were trending up, but they're trending up at almost a crazy rate, to the point where, you expect them to do maybe some special things in the next couple of years. Not national championship special things, I don't think, but, you know, maybe put yourself in position to be in the Central Florida type conversation where people are wondering, why is this team left out? Maybe you can do those things. I mean, you're certainly trending in a good direction.
No doubt about it. What do you have on Local12.com?
Got all kinds of Bengals stuff today. Kind of looked at actually maybe some changes coming again on the offensive line, perhaps. I don't think there's a comfort level in understanding with Cedric Ogbuehi at left tackle. Maybe we'll see Clint Bowling there this week. I don't know if that's a huge upgrade, but it's probably got to be better than said, especially if Cordy Glenn doesn't play, Jake Fisher doesn't play because of injury. We got the press conference stuff from today up there. We got the news of the AAC awards today, the awards handed out, which stunned me. 12 Ohio State players were selected all Big Ten by the coaches on defense. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, always all kinds of stuff up there. And a podcast with my man Rick Rory and I that we did today as well.
Awesome. Richard, I appreciate the time as always. Heck, I don't know that the next time I'll talk to you, it'll probably be in Cleveland when you're up there covering the Browns. So let me know. We'll get a drink.
Man, I enjoyed it very much, and I'm very happy for your success, and best of luck in Cleveland, and best of luck covering 1171 basketball team.
Yeah, 1171 and Zion Williamson on the way.
Okay, all right. Well,
I hope.
There is that hope, brother.
Think of me when those ping pong balls are going back and forth.
Exactly right.
Richard, I appreciate everything you've done for me, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Take care.
Good stuff there. From Richard Skinner of Local 12 and Local12.com. I'm James Erpine. Up next, your calls at 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station.
You've been listening to Football in the Natty, brought to you in part by Bud Light and CME Sewer Repair on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
Now, this is a story all about how I'm James Erpine, and this is ESPN 1530, a little Fresh Prince. It's great to be with you. With you till 6 o'clock. It's been a fun show. We've had some Reds mixed in. We did some Bengals. Did some Bearcats with Luke Fickell. Let's hear from you. We'll do a little more Bengals with Joe Goodberry coming up in a few. But first, Jeff in Miamisburg. Jeff, what's up?
What's going on, James?
How are you, man?
Long time. Doing really good, dude. It's had my dial tuned to you for a while. Sorry to hear you going up to Cleveland, but, hey, you get to cover the defending Eastern Conference champions up there, so that's all right.
That's right. Jeff, I appreciate the kind words, man. Thank you for listening.
Hell yeah, dude.
Awesome. Did you want to talk? Did you want to talk Bengals at all?
Yeah, dude. Let's do some Bengals, man. I gotta admit, I'm actually looking forward to a little Jeff Driscoll. He's something different, you know. I know it's rough looking at the backup quarterback for the rest of the year, but I think he's going to give us at least a little something to watch every Sunday. And I don't know what are you expecting from him? You thinking like 200 yards, 2 touchdowns this week?
I think that would be, in a perfect world, ideal. I think that, and here's the thing, is with Jeff Driscoll, the Bengals offense is going to have to be much more creative. They're going to have to get him out in space some. I think they should use his legs, use that asset that he has. He runs a 4.5. I mean, the dude is athletic. So I think they need to get him on the move some. That doesn't mean run him all the time, but a lot of read option stuff, a lot of RPOs where he can decide to keep it or not. And, yes, it will be something different. Here's what's going to stink on Monday. Is Monday, when the Bengals offense, assuming it gets more creative with Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard, then I'm going to be thinking, why the hell didn't they do this a couple weeks ago when the season was still very much in hand? But, yeah, I am excited to see someone else who's athletic. I mean, Jeff Driscoll is the most athletic Bengals starting quarterback that's going to start a game that they've had in years. We had a call. I said it earlier in the show. I think Akili Smith is probably the last one that's been this athletic. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. And one quick Reds thing, too, before I get off here. Yeah. When it comes to you going up to Cleveland, do you think you can convince them to trade us Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco?
Yeah, that's right. Jeff, I appreciate the call and the kind words. Yeah, I think it would take a lot of convincing. A lot of convincing. The Corey Kluber thing is interesting. I would be leery of it, though, if I'm the Reds. Like, if I'm a team that is an ace away from being a top team in my division, that's one thing. The Reds, their window, it's not this season. And Corey Kluber's on the wrong side of 30. He's a smart pitcher who's, even though his velocity's dropped some, he's able to, look at me with my Corey Kluber knowledge, is able to adjust his game. I just wonder how much longer he can maintain that. And that's why the Indians are even talking about it up there in Cleveland. And if you're the Reds, I want someone who is 25 years old. I want someone who's 26 years old. I know Mo talked about it yesterday on the show. Noah Syndergaard. Give me that guy. He's 25. That's what I want. Now, that's going to cost more. But that in an ideal world, if you're the Reds, that's what you want in a starting pitcher. I'm James Rapine. This is ESPN 1530. We'll talk Bengals with Joe Goodberry next on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. I'm James Rapine. This is ESPN 1530. It's 5:48. Can't believe it's dark. 5:48. It feels like it's 11:48. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic joined me earlier in the show. We talked Bengals. I'll tweet out the entire interview shortly. But I asked Joe about Jeff Driscoll and if Jeff Driscoll should be thanking the heavens that A.J. Green is returning to the Bengals and returning to the field on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, we know what A.J. Green does, but the way Tyler Boyd has played, and it seems that Jeff Driscoll quickly got the ball to Boyd and early and often. And then the way John Ross has played and gotten better every single game. There's no other receiving trio in the NFL that each has 5 touchdowns. And the Bengals are the ones that own those 3 receivers, and that will help Jeff Driscoll. It will help any quarterback. So we've seen what Andy Dalton looks like without him. Let's see what Jeff Driscoll looks like with A.J. Green.
What did you think of Jeff Driscoll's performance on Sunday when you popped on the film?
It was very good, especially in a guy that's never started a game before, especially considering we've only seen him in preseason. You have to remember, coming out of college, he was more of a talent than a polished quarterback, so he needed a lot of things. He was he was thought of by many as a developmental guy, and let's see what you have in 2 years. And he didn't make the roster for the 49ers. The Bengals claimed him. Reports were that they had a mid-round grade on him, and they were interested. And then it felt like he beat out A.J. McCarron 2 years ago in camp, and then I believe he broke his thumb or hurt his thumb and was put on injured reserve. So he's had opportunities. I think it's clear he beat out Matt Barkley in the preseason this year, and then Barkley was injured, but I think that it would have went towards Driscoll anyways. So to see him develop but not really see him play in a regular season game other than that final, what, minute or so with the New Orleans Saints, that blowout, he looked better than he has, and he's looked like he's progressed, and that's what you want. I mean, the ball was coming out quick. It was coming out accurate. It was coming out to the right player. I highlighted a play on Twitter. It was the exact same play on offense for the Bengals, the exact same play on defense, you know, for the most part. And the throw that Andy Dalton threw an interception on is because he didn't read the defense correctly, and the play comes up again later in the game with Jeff Driscoll in the game, and he sees it accurately, and he throws a touchdown strike to Tyler Boyd, and it's a throw over the middle in a tight window behind a linebacker in front of a safety, and it's a throw that Andy Dalton hasn't thrown really since the Falcons game. It's something that he shied away from. So I'm not saying Driscoll is going to be better. I just don't think where Dalton has been playing to the replacement level guy across the league, which is a Driscoll type, is that big of a gap. So for me, I think that's the biggest knock for why you would want to keep Andy Dalton going forward and in the future. I think if you get comparable play from Driscoll, I think that's when the conversation gets interesting.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is joining us. What would you say to the listeners at home that are like, yeah, well, Cleveland went basically prevent, they gave them everything underneath, and they were just playing a soft defense in the second half. What would be your argument against that?
I would say that's fair. There were some different looks. There were some different blitzes. It wasn't that the Browns completely gave up. And if you could tell the energy when the Bengals actually had a chance to come within two scores, that the Browns started to pick it up a little bit again. And that's when the Bengals defense started to stall. But it wasn't that, you know, they killed themselves. It was more that the Browns stopped them. I'm sorry. It was that the Bengals killed themselves with pre-snap penalties and mistakes and just putting them in third and long situations. You know, stuff we've seen all year out of this team. But I would say that the Chiefs and the Saints also went into a prevent. We got a 30-point lead against Andy Dalton, and he couldn't take advantage of it either. So it's not that that wasn't why Driscoll was so good, and that wasn't why the receivers were open. It was more because the ball was getting out quickly, and he was willing to throw into tight windows. There was two throws to Boyd. There was another one down the middle, too, against quarters coverage where he's throwing it into a tight window. There's a slant by John Ross right to the goal line before Jeff Driscoll's one-yard rushing touchdown where he knifes it in there right by a linebacker, right in front of Denzel Ward, and as the safety's closing in.
That was a rocket.
It was, and it was a pinpoint throw, and it was a great catch by Ross. I do think he eyes the receiver a little bit too much, so it'll be interesting to see as it goes on, as defensive coordinators start scheming against him, if they're going to say to that free safety and those linebackers underneath, read his eyes and jump the ball. Because, you know, that's something you would expect from a guy who's never had a start, but it's where I would focus if I was the Bengals to say, you know, keep your eyes in the middle of the field and then come to your target. You can't look at them too early.
Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is with us. I've been very critical of Marvin Lewis this week. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been critical of Bill Lazor. His lack of creativity is something that I think a lot of fans have noticed and are wondering why Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard, for example, can't be on the field at the same time. What's the difference between Lazor's play calling? Is there any difference with Lazor's play calling from weeks 1 to 5 where the Bengals were 4-1 and rolling? And then since then, where it's kind of been downhill and pretty bad.
I think it's the same as last year, too. Remember when Bill Lazor took over, and it was the first game, I think, was the Packers game.
Yep.
And the offense put up 28 points, I want to say. And they went on a little bit of a roll there. And then as the season wore on, it got stagnant. And they're running a lot of the same things over and over again. And I think this year, it was fresh. It was new. You had Tyler Eifert, which I think is a kind of guy who hurts defenses in pre-snap, post-snap reading, because what he does is he makes you declare exactly what you're doing, whether it's man or zone coverage based on who goes out and covers him as he splits out wide. And I think as soon as Eifert went down in that Falcons game, even though the Bengals had a good second half coming back afterwards in the games following, everything got really, really basic for their passing offense. And I thought, and I think a lot of people hoped that Joe Mixon returning, Giovanni Bernard returning from health, would allow you to open it up. You look at the Saints; they don't use a tight end. They are out there with Alvin Kamara catching 7-8 balls a game. The Bengals should be doing similar things. And I think AJ Green going down, a lot of injuries, a lot of excuses for why it didn't work. But at the same time, it's not the most creative offense. They're not scheming receivers open. They're not scheming easy touches and easy throws often enough. You watch the best offenses, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, these guys are open, and it's because they're scheming them open. And it's the route combinations, it's the timing, it's setting plays up for later, it's the play-action passes, and it's just not there for the Bengals. It's not clicking. Once again, it's now 3 years in a row.
I'm James Erpine. This is ESPN 1530. That was Joe Goodberry with me earlier today. We are just about out of time here. Out of time. I'll be back at it tomorrow for Cincy 360. Mo and I tomorrow. Mo and I Friday. And then you'll have someone new next week. By the way, Tony Pike and I did today's show together. And I enjoyed it a lot. Noon to one, every single weekday, you should listen to Tony and I discuss Bengals and more. It's posted at ESPN1530.com on the podcast page and on the iHeartRadio app. Up next, you get more Bengals talk. The best Bengals talk. The best that Mo says this all the time, and it's true. Bengals game plan, best Bengals show you're going to get. That is next. It's Dan Horton and Dave Lapham right here on ESPN 1530.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.